Did you know families that typically make $35,000 to $95,000 annually often won't qualify for the federal Pell Grant? At Liberty University, we created a solution to help students afford the quality education they deserve. Our Middle America Scholarship, when combined with the Liberty Champion Award, will match the Pell Grant, a value of up to $5,495 per year for up to 4 years. And the Middle America Scholarship is stackable with most other Liberty aid. Learn more by texting MAS to 49596. Again, that's MAS to 49596.
Tamron Clintworth, thank you so much for joining me in studio. It's a pleasure to have a guest to talk about what God is doing in the news, actually here in person, and not just reporting about something that's happening in another part of the world, but you get to actually tell us what is happening right now and how God is moving despite the pandemic, despite chaos in the world. God is moving, and I am so glad that you're able to be here to talk about that. So thank you.
Thrilled to be with you. Can't wait to talk more about Jesus.
Yes, because he's the author and perfecter of our faith.
Amen.
And he's going to help us through all of the trials that's going on in this world, and he is our only hope, for sure.
Indeed.
Before we get into that, I just want to make sure that everybody knows that you are a podcaster with us on our Charisma Podcast Network. Your podcast is In His Name, so encourage people to go take a listen to that when you get a chance. And you've got a book, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But right now, I want to jump into, what is God doing that has you so excited?
Well, gosh, I mean, what I love about the gospel is that the gospel always works. You preach it and it works. It doesn't matter what's happening in the world or what has just imploded or what chaos is circulating. If you lift your voice and preach Jesus, miracles manifest. Miracles of salvation, miracles of healing, miracles of deliverance. You know, and throughout this whole pandemic, that's what, you know, my team and I, the team of In His Name Ministries, we've been doing. We've just been carrying on preaching the gospel, you know, whether it's online or whether it's in person, because we do in person best, the team of In His Name. As soon as doors opened and we could have our gospel crusades again, we were out there in the field preaching Jesus. And yes, the gospel must be preached. It doesn't matter what's happening. We have to get the word out that Jesus is the only way to heaven.
Absolutely.
And whoever calls on his name shall be saved.
Yeah. So you just said something, and I want to make sure that people hear this and they understand this. You said that you are doing crusades again, even during this pandemic. Crusades where?
We are crusading in Ethiopia. We started crusading in Ethiopia a number of years ago, and we were very grateful to actually start crusading there again last year, November.
Mm-hmm.
For a number of months, the country was also shut down. Nobody was allowed to have big public events. But then things started opening up, and we were thrilled to get back in. So we started with small communities.
Uh-huh.
In November, we were in a little town, what's more of a village community called Angacha Town.
Say that name again?
Angacha.
That's
Angacha
a fun one.
Town. In the mountains. Very, very challenging to get to.
Mm-hmm.
And we were crusading there, and it was just absolutely, absolutely glorious. I mean, people came in their thousands, you know, even with all the fear circulating regarding the pandemic. They came, they attended, you know, we saw thousands of salvations. Mighty miracles, you know, the blind seeing, the lame walking, the deaf hearing, dramatic deliverances. And we actually just saw the pastor, the chairman, who we worked with, who was heading up our crusade committee just the other day. And he said to us it was the most glorious crusade. He says the people were so hopeless because of the pandemic. They were so frustrated. And the crusade injected them with hope and light and life. And he was so sweet. He even said to us, no, you know, the pastors were a little bit worried that maybe, you know, the pandemic would, you know, have hit the town harder after the crusade because everybody was gathering together and on top of each other. And he said, nope, they didn't have one case.
Wow.
Which was just absolutely glorious.
That's God's protection right there.
God's protection. So we could just preach Jesus.
Yeah.
And after Angacha Town, we then headed in December to another town called Adilo. After that, we went to Buditi. After that, we went to Letawendo. And then we ended up having a little crusade in South Africa in a village called Mageva last year, May. That was a bit smaller because restrictions in South Africa are a little tighter than in Ethiopia. But it was still extraordinary. So we're finding ways, you know, the places that are open and we can, you know, crusade properly with thousands upon thousands, we do that. You know, in other places, the crusades have to be a bit smaller, but we crusade. We preach Jesus. And these are all communities that don't have strong internet connection. You know, so they can't listen to a gospel message, you know, over Facebook or, you know, with video streaming. You need to go to them in person. And we determine to keep going. Wherever we find a gap, we will go and we will preach.
Yeah. So the people that God has called you to, they don't have internet access like most of the world does right now. I mean, it's amazing. I've been in places in Africa where, like, you don't see any electricity anywhere, but people have their cell phones still. I don't know how they charge them, but they do somehow. But, like, you are reaching people that there's no other way to reach them because they can't join online conferences or things like that to hear the gospel. So you, despite the pandemic, despite all these restrictions of flying to other countries and doing all this stuff, you're willing to go through all this extra red tape and the complications. And thank you so much for just saying, I will go, you know, here I am, Lord, send me, and that you're reaching these people. What are some of the more interesting miracles that you've had to get over this red tape or through some of those challenges?
Gosh, I'm glad you asked that question. You know, my husband and I, we really, you know, we often have said to each other, you know, over the past couple of months, it's just a miracle. Everything's working out. It's just a miracle. I mean, everything has to come together for a crusade to happen.
Oh yeah.
You know, let alone now during a pandemic, you know, then just more challenges get thrown in. You know, now, for example, you know, every one of our team members, you know, who is coming from outside of whatever country we're ministering in, you know, has to have a negative COVID test, you know, to get in and then to get out.
Right.
You know, and that in itself is just a miracle that with all the people that we're mixing with constantly and ministering to, you know, we've always come out with negative COVID tests, you know, and that's never hindered us. You know, flights, they're so few flights now available. You know, the flights are so costly. Just to get visas, you know, Ethiopia, for example, at the moment, you know, they don't have their online e-visa program, which means that you formally need to go to the embassy, you know, and apply for a visa. But in South Africa, the embassy has been closed because of pandemic restrictions.
Oh, yeah.
So you have to jump over that hurdle. You know, just the local authorities allowing the crusade to continue is a miracle. You know, we haven't had a crusade cancelled. We haven't had a crusade shut down. It really is just everything is a miracle. And it's just been proof to me that when you are willing to go and when you are willing to push through, that God makes it work. You know, for a whole year, we weren't able to get into the U.S. to fundraise. And, you know, that was a massive problem for us.
Sure.
You know, when we started being able to have crusades again, you know, our bank account, we had nothing in it. And I prayed and I said, Lord, what do we do? You know, we need to start having crusades again. We have a little bit left. What do we do? You know, and he reminded me of the story of the widow, you know, with the little bit of oil and the little bit of flour. And he just said, just use what's in your hand. Just use what's in your hand. And it was just extraordinary. Without us being in the U.S. to fundraise, money just came in. We just put the crusades on the calendar and money just came in. I would just get emails, somebody saying, I've sent you checks. Checks are in the post. And it was just amazing, just seeing the Lord provide. So if one's willing to go, if one's willing to step out, God will always meet us out on the water.
That is so true.
And make sure that our feet land on solid ground, and that he uses us, you know, for his glory.
So I'm just kind of seeing a headline in my brain right now of what you just were talking about, is that God provides miraculously so that his gospel can reach the ends of the earth. It's just amazing to see how God is doing that. Like, he really does care about the people at the ends of the earth and wants us as his disciples, as his people, to go and reach those people that he so cares about, that he's creating miracle after miracle after miracle. And when we take a step of obedience, he meets us there.
Amen.
That is so amazing. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for being willing to risk safety or health and just see God be faithful with that.
Well, that's the only reason we live and breathe, is it not? You know, to lift on high the name of Jesus and to glorify him. You know, otherwise what's the point of life?
Yeah.
You know, we have to live for him, breathe for him, and lay our lives down for him, you know, like he did for us. But it's been an extraordinary journey, you know, over the past year. And it's you know, you saying that God, you know, cares and he wants these people to be reached. I often remind myself of that, you know, when we're planning a crusade and we may be hitting some exceptional challenges. And I always remind myself, you know, and often I'll pray and I'll say, Lord, just remember, you want to win these people, you know, more than I do.
Yeah.
You know, this is your baby. You know, I'm just your worker bee. You know, this is your ministry. You know, the ministry I head up, In His Name Ministries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love the fact that it's got God's name on it. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'll remind him of that. I'll say, Lord, this ministry, it's not called Tamarin Clintworth Ministries. You know, this is not my baby.
Yeah.
In His Name Ministries. This ministry has been stamped with your name.
Mm-hmm.
It's your responsibility, your baby. And the Lord weeps for those lost souls in the unreached places far more. Then we weep for them. And he just needs believers to put up their hands and say, here I am, I'm willing, whatever I need to do, I'll keep going and I won't stop, because that is necessary. You will face a lot of challenges. You will face a lot of obstacles, pre-pandemic, during the pandemic, and post-pandemic. Mm-hmm. And you have to push through. You know, we could have canceled any of these crusades that I've just mentioned multiple times. You know, we've got another 6 now coming up. You know, we don't know how they're going to happen. We don't know how they're going to be paid for. But you just push. You just move. And God moves with you. And he doesn't disappoint, because he wants his gospel to be preached.
Yeah. He cares about that more than we do. And we need to care about it a lot. So when you say crusades, could you paint the picture of what that looks like to our listeners right now? Because right now, I mean, you could show me pictures, but our listeners aren't going to be able to see that. So what does a crusade with Tamarin Clintworth look like? And where did you learn about this?
Well, a crusade is really a mass evangelistic event. So all of our crusades are open air. You know, there's no hall or no tent, you know, that the crowds that gather could fit into. So it will be over a period of 4 days or 5 days, night services and often morning services as well. Massive stage setup, you know, sound towers, lights. So if you can imagine a concert.
Okay.
And people then attending in their thousands and their tens of thousands, packing the field, praise and worship, you know, is very lively and jovial, you know, as it is in Africa, with a lot of dancing and celebration. You know, nothing held back. Praise and worship will carry on for usually an hour, 2 hours. Just depends on the community. And then I'll get the microphone and I'll get to preach the gospel. And I preach a pure gospel. You know, I don't complicate things. I preach sin and the blood of Jesus, and why we need him to be at peace with God. We'll do an altar call, and the altar call will consist of not calling people to the front because there are too many people. But people putting up their hands in the crowd saying, yes, I want Jesus. There'll be ushers positioned in the crowd who then, after we pray the salvation prayer together, you know, those new converts, the ushers go to them, collect their details on a little decision card, give them some follow-up material. And then the pastors who we've worked with, you know, to plan that crusade will then get all those decision cards, work following up, you know, every single new believer. And that's a challenging process, because a lot of the areas that we minister in, Christianity is a very small percentage. You know, most people in that community, you know, follow other religions. So there can be a lot of persecution when they come to Jesus. So the pastors have to be very careful and very sensitive, you know, when contacting that new believer, you know, to try and pull them into the local church. Often they'll be undercover Christians, you know, for quite a long period of time, you know, before they can then come out to their family, because it often means absolute exile, you know, if not death, but definitely exile.
Wow.
From the family. After I've preached the gospel and we take people's details, I will then on a number of the nights teach on the Holy Spirit as well, teach how easy it is to be used by God, teach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And after the final teaching of the Holy Spirit, which is usually on the final night, we'll pray for the Holy Spirit baptism. And that is just absolutely extraordinary, just a wave that hits the crowd and people filled with the Spirit. We'll pray for healing in every service as well. We won't lay on hands because there are too many people, but we'll pray for the sick from where we are on stage, rebuke all manner of diseases and sicknesses, and cast out demons from the stage. And yes, we'll get testimonies of people coming up and saying the Lord has healed them from this or that, and everybody rejoices. And yes, that is in summary what a crusade service will look like.
Yeah, thank you for painting that picture in my mind and our listeners' minds. You know, as you were expressing that, I can see the joy on your face, and I'm reminded of the line in the movie Chariots of Fire, where Eric Liddell is saying, "I feel his joy when I run." And as you're talking about these crusades and seeing people come to Jesus, I think that's the moment where you feel his joy you preach. What is happening in you? What is God saying to you during this time? Or tell me about, like, what is the post-game conference with God type of a thing? Like, what does that feel like?
After the crusade service.
Yeah. You've got to be exhausted, but you've got to be filled up as well.
I am exhausted. I won't say unfortunately, but I am half German, and I am very critical, and I am a perfectionist. So I have to be very careful after a service, not to focus on what went wrong. For me, there's always more. For me, I always say, Lord, you know, more miracles could have happened. More could have been saved. More, Lord, you know, more could have happened. And I've really had to train myself to be grateful, you know, for what did take place. You know, so for me, you know, after crusade service, it's really going to the Lord and saying, Lord, you know, thank you. You know, thank you for every soul saved. Thank you for every miracle. You know, thank you for every person liberated. And now tomorrow, Lord, more. More, Lord. You know, more. I want to see more. You know, I'm never satisfied. I'm always pushing the Lord for more. You know, and then just with our team practically, you know, we talk about things, you know, that could have, you know, gone smoother, you know, things that we need to correct. You know, that's a crusade environment is an uncontrollable environment, and you do your best to control it as much as possible.
Right.
But we try and keep our fingers on everything, so things go as smoothly as possible. But yes, but there's nothing like it. Yeah. There's nothing like a crusade. It's God pouring himself out upon a very broken and very desperate group of people who have nothing. You know, the poverty that we see in the areas that we go, the people have nothing. You know, what people know to be poverty here in the U.S. is wealth. Right. You know, where we go, you know, absolute wealth. The people have absolutely nothing. And they open up to God in the most glorious way. And he pours himself into them, and heaven touches earth.
Yeah.
And it's an incredible privilege to step back and to watch and to be a witness of what the Lord does.
Yeah. So you're talking about heaven touching earth, and, you know, the Holy Spirit is how God is mainly using that right now. But your book is called The Spirit of Fire. And could you tell me just a little bit about that while we have a few moments still?
A spirit of fire is all about the Holy Spirit and how he wants to work with the believer, every believer, to win the lost, heal the sick, set the captives free. You know, there's a terrible misconception in the church that the Lord only uses a handful, you know, for his glory, and that he can't use everybody, you know, to work miracles, you know, or to witness with power. It's a horrible misconception, and the book is all about squashing that misconception, mm-hmm. that the only qualification to be used by God is that you be filled with the Spirit. That's the only qualification. Once you are filled with the Spirit, you are anointed, you are appointed, and then you just have to cooperate with the Spirit. So the book explains how to cooperate with the Spirit, how to work with the Spirit and be used by God. You know, how your life can impact eternity, regardless of what your day job is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every day God can use you to impact people for him and to shine for him in such a way that when you stand before the Lord one day before his throne, you can say, well done, you know, good and faithful servant. You know, you have done well. So it's a book that really consists of what I have learned on the crusade field,
mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit teaching me. I never went to Bible school after school. I have a four-year law degree behind my name. But what I've learned when it comes to ministry has been, you know, the Holy Spirit teaching me every step of the way, and me floundering and being uncertain, and you know, him guiding me and redirecting me and me making mistakes. And so the book consists of lessons, you know, from the mission field. And yes, it will set anybody who reads it on fire for God. And if it doesn't, then read it for a second time, because then it will the second time.
Yeah. Well, I know this is a news podcast, but I don't want to miss an opportunity for you to pray for listeners that feel like, I want that, because I want to be somebody that makes headlines for the kingdom of God. Could you release a prayer for people that want to take that first step? And the second step can definitely be getting the book Spirit of Fire, but can you help people take that first step with the Holy Spirit there?
Of course. Father God, you know what is going on in the heart of every listener. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you will saturate them with yourself. I thank you for a boldness to come upon them, the same boldness that came upon the first disciples, Lord, in the book of Acts. That, Lord, they would be so driven to win the lost, that they would push through every challenge, they would leap over every obstacle, because everything inside of them, Lord, is just burning with the proclamation, souls, souls, souls for Jesus. Holy Spirit, I thank you that right now they are experiencing your presence. I thank you would give them a revelation of what it means to be filled with you, that they are saturated with God. And if they would just open their mouths and they would speak, if they would just lay hands on the sick and those in bondage and pray in the name of Jesus, they would see you working through them. Lord, I thank you. You will provide opportunities for them to witness, provide opportunities for them to minister in the workplace, on the streets, Lord. Give them those moments and let them recognize those moments. And as they step out on the water, as they push past those initial feelings of fear or insecurity or nervousness, as they push past, they will find on the other side, Lord, you using them in such a mighty way that they would fall on their knees and they would say, my God, you are glorious. I am your servant. Wherever you bid me go, I will go. Whatever you bid me do, I will do. Here I am, send me. So thank you, Holy Spirit, that today is a new day for every listener. They would not shrink back, they would step out. And as they step out, you are there and you will use them. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Tamron, thank you so much for sharing what God is doing in the news in regards of the crusades and the ministry that God has called you to. It's so exciting. I want to encourage everybody listening to make sure you go to cpnshows.com and check out the In His Name podcast for the latest headlines and the latest stories of what God is doing with the In His Name ministry, Tamarin Clintworth. Check out her book, Spirit of Fire. And we're so glad that you're one of our podcasters on the Charisma Podcast Network. And this has been Charisma News. I'm John Matarazzo. Join me on my Along the Way podcast. You'll hear interviews with people who are actively walking with Christ so that we can learn from others' journeys along their way. You can find my Along the Way podcast as well as many more Spirit-filled podcasts on the Charisma Podcast Network. Thank you for listening to today's Charisma News podcast, One Story, Well Told. For more stories, visit us online at charismanews.com. Subscribe to this podcast for more Charisma News every weekday. This is John Matarazzo. God bless you.